Hey, welcome to East Lake. This is a church for everyone, and that's one way to tell the Christmas story. The Christmas season always has this kind of an idea of a silent night, and everything's really super peaceful. But when Jesus was born, which is the Christmas story, it was pretty chaotic. His family was upside down. He had some family craziness. Anybody have any family craziness going on during the holidays? And the nation was not, like, getting along. Israel had been conquered by Rome, and Rome was running the whole Israel government, and no one liked the government. Pause. Nobody liked the government. Nobody liked the way the laws were being made. Everybody was in tension. They were on edge. It's like, can't somebody do something about these circumstances we're in? Have you been there? Maybe you got something going on at your job, and you're like, can't somebody do something about this? You know, something's going on in your finances. You wish your finances were in better shape. Or maybe you wish your body was in better shape. I don't know, like maybe you're thinking you're gonna like you're saying to yourself, I'm just gonna start an exercise program right after the holidays, if you're like me. It's like, can somebody do something about my circumstances? That's the backdrop that Jesus, that's the Christmas story. And when Jesus arrives, he arrives with a promise, and here's the promise. Trust me, don't be afraid. We can do this together. Look at your notes. It's the big idea this weekend. Christmas is the celebration of our everyday relationship. Christmas was not the announcement of an event. It was the announcement of a journey with someone that has made a promise to us to be with us. Look at how it says in the Bible. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. No matter what my circumstances, no matter what's going on, I want it to be much, much better. I like it how it is. God is with us. And he says, trust me. Don't be afraid. We can do it together. Now there's four different people in the Christmas story. We're going to look at them today. Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherd. So let's jump right in. Number one of your notes, Zechariah faced the fear of disappointment. It's when you want to do something, but you're afraid you'll disappoint others. Or you want to do something, and you're afraid that if you get your hopes up too high, you'll just be disappointed because it doesn't ever happen. Zechariah was an old man. He was a priest that worked in the temple. He was married to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was a relative of Mary. They were cousins. Now Mary is pregnant, unwed mother, and in those days, they would ship the girl off to live with relatives. So nobody'd find out about it. They didn't have to explain it. Just go live there, and after you have the baby, we'll come home. We'll deal with it then. You know, just kind of push it. Go live with the girl. So Mary goes and lives with her cousin Elizabeth and Zechariah. She goes to live in their home. She's living there. And they're old now, but their entire life, they had wanted to have a child, but it's just the two of them. They prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and their prayer was never answered. They never had a baby. They're really super old now. Can you imagine Elizabeth now? She's an older woman now. And here comes Mary, you know, pregnant, young teenage girl, engaged, but not married. And I'm sure Elizabeth's thinking, like, maybe you would. Gosh, God, how come they get that? Have you ever, like, seen somebody get something? You're like, how come they get to have that? I don't get to have that. Well, you know, I want, you know, and here's Elizabeth, never got to have a baby. Mary's living in their home, pregnant with a baby. It's the story, the Christmas story. That's how it starts out. Now Zechariah, he's a priest. He's at the temple, and one day he's just down doing his work at the temple, and an angel shows up and says, Zechariah, the timing is right now. God's going to give you a baby. They've been praying and praying and praying. Have you ever prayed? Nothing happened? Keep going. Because part of trusting God is trusting him for the timing. Finally, an angel shows up and says, the timing's right, Zechariah. You're going to have a baby. Let's read it. Here it is. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel appeared to him. When he saw the angel, he was confused and overwhelmed with fear. But the angel said to him, circle it, do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. See, it's not that God doesn't hear my prayers. He's just waiting for the perfect time to answer them. And here comes Zach. You know, he's like, I've been waiting all my life for this to happen. God, you don't understand how many times I got my hopes up only to be disappointed. He's struggling with this. And wouldn't you? I mean, it's not like the angel shows up with the baby. That would have been a lot easier. If God just would have sent an angel and the angel walks up and says, "Hey, Zechariah, God has heard your prayers. And look, I have a baby for you and Elizabeth." That wouldn't take a lot of faith or trust. It would be like, okay. But the angel doesn't arrive with a baby. It arrives with a promise. Trust me. Don't be afraid. We can do it together. And Zechariah now has to make a decision. Will he trust God? Now, number two is Mary. Faced the fear of insecurity. You know the story. A young woman comes from a normal family. She's a normal girl living a normal life, probably in her, you know, 15, 16, 17, just a teenage girl. And God sends an angel down and said, "I've been promising for a long time. I'm going to wait till the timing's right. I'm going to send a Savior. And the Savior is going to start out as a baby. And you're going to be the mother, Mary." I mean, that would be pretty intimidating. Let's read the story. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. So the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary." There it is again. "For God has decided to bless and use you. You'll have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, and he will be the Son of God, and his kingdom will never end." Then Mary asked, "But how can this be?" A question for you. What are you hoping will happen in your life? And there's a sentence rattling around in your head like, "But how can that be? How could that ever happen? I mean, I'm just a normal person. I'm not highly educated. Why? You know, Mary hadn't done anything to earn God to pick her. Have you ever been caught in that loop? You want something to happen in your life really, really super bad, and then you look at your life and you realize, "Well, I'm not qualified to get that. I haven't done anything special for God. I mean, you know, I'm just a normal person." And like, probably if God looked at my life, I feel this way, maybe you do, he probably wouldn't pick me. So it's normal when Mary says, how can this be? I'm just a normal person. And then right in the middle of insecure, and how about this too? Like, Mary's a virgin right now. She's engaged, but she's a virgin. There's no baby inside her, and she's probably thinking, "This is impossible. I'm not going to have a baby. I mean, I know enough about the birds and the bees. Some bird doesn't fly by and drop them down. I mean, are you facing anything in your life and it seems impossible? And the reason it seems impossible is because you're looking at you instead of God. You look at yourself and say, "Ain't got a chance to pull this off. It's way too big a job for me. It's never going to happen for me." And the angel says to Mary, "Trust me. Don't be afraid. We can do this together. God with us." Now, number three, Joseph, her fiance, he's got a whole different thing going on. Joseph faces the fear of disapproval. And it's the disapproval that we have in our families. It's when we get into thing with our families, our brothers, sister, parents, or whoever else, and we do something and they disapprove of us, or we want to do something and we're afraid they're going to disapprove of us. Can you imagine what it was like for Joseph to have to go and tell his parents that his fiance was pregnant and, "Oh, by the way, I'm not the father"? I mean, this is the Christmas story. This is the real life Christmas story now. I mean, how would you like to be in his shoes? And then your dad says to you, "Well, who is the father then?" And you say, "Well, Mary said God's the father." Yeah, wacko. I mean, come on. Can you imagine this story if you went home? I mean, no parent in the world is going to believe this. Like, come up with a better lie. Okay, God's the father. But Joseph won't get off it. He just says, "Well, that's what Mary said, and that's what I believe." And people begin to be disappointed. If you had to say and hold your guns in your family ever, put your heels down and decide, "No, this is my life, and this is what I'm doing." And everybody's disappointed with you in the family when you dig your heels in and say, well, back up. This is my life. This is what I believe in. And everybody's disappointed. Can you imagine the fighting that must have went on? Everybody in the family's got an idea what the little couple should do. They have an opinion, and they're arguing back and forth. Are there any holiday meals approaching or gatherings and you're anticipating disapproval? or there was disapproval from something you did in the past, and it's going to rekindle it again. Well, that's because you never went to college. I told you not to marry him. You shouldn't have bought that truck all lifted and everything. I knew it was going to, just name your poison. It causes breakdowns in families, and then we get afraid. What are we supposed to do? How do we get them back together? When our families come apart, it causes us to be afraid. We're going to disappoint someone. We're afraid. Are you anticipating any of that this holiday season? We get stuck. We're afraid. What do I do? Well, and haven't you been there? Or just like the old man, you're just sort of, you're pondering, can I do it? Can I not do it? Should I? Joseph, he's got a lot at stake because he's put the reputation of the entire family at stake. Maybe you can relate to the fear of disapproval if you've done something and you felt like, you put the entire reputation of the family at stake. That's the pressure he's feeling. Or maybe his parents feel the same thing. All the neighbors are going to know. They're going to talk about it at church. Everybody's going to talk about it. The reputation of the whole family is riding on this thing. It's a lot of pressure. And Joseph has to decide what to do, and let's read what happens in the Bible. Now, this is how Jesus Christ was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her fiancé, being a good and righteous man, decided to break the engagement quietly so it would not disgrace Mary publicly. But after he'd considered doing this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, do not be afraid, there it is again, to take Mary home as your wife because the child in her is from God's Holy Spirit and he has to make a choice. Do I trust God or not? God says, trust me in this. Don't be afraid. We can do it together. And Joseph has to make a choice. Now, number four, write in your notes, the shepherds face the fear of judgment. Now, the shepherds have been chosen by God to make the announcement that the Savior has arrived. So they're the ones God picks. He says it's going to be the shepherds to tell everybody that the Savior is here. Okay? Now let's read their story. That night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel appeared among them, and the landscape shone bright with the glory of the Lord. They were badly frightened, but the angel reassured them. Do not be afraid, he said. I bring you the most joyful news ever announced, and it is for everyone. We call this a church for everyone. It doesn't matter what religion you come from. You may have gone to church all your life or not. You have no religious background, gay, straight. It doesn't matter what your political views are. That stuff doesn't matter here. This church is for everyone, because the Savior came for everyone, was the good news. That's good news. If you have never been a part of the group that call themselves everyone, you know what good news it is when God comes and says, no, make the circle bigger. I mean everyone. Everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem. Now, here's the crazy thing. Nobody would have thought that God would have chosen the shepherds, because they are the outcasts in this society. The shepherds are, they had to take the job that nobody wanted. We all have seen jobs, I never want to do that job. They had to do the dirty work, the job that nobody wanted. They didn't want anybody to even ask them what they did for a living, because they didn't want to have to say shepherd. Because if you said you were a shepherd, it was immediate judgment. Oh, you had to take a job as a shepherd, huh? And that explains a lot about you. Do you know in Jesus' day, they were so marginalized, true. They were so put off on the sides that they weren't allowed to go into the temple. If you were a shepherd, that's how you made your living. You couldn't go in the temple. You were unworthy. You couldn't attend any religious ceremonies. You were unworthy. You could not be a witness in a court of law if you were a shepherd. You didn't matter. You had no voice. Now, here's the heart of God. He says, that's exactly who I choose. That's who I'm picking. That's who's going to be my voice, the one that has been marginalized and has no voice. I'm going to pick the shepherds to make the announcement. I'm sure it's a little unsettling for them. They're probably like, what? Me? Nobody's going to believe me. Everybody knows what I do for a living. Everybody knows my reputation on the block. Everybody knows in school about me. Have you ever had your reputation ruin anything for you? Because someone had a judgment? The shepherds are afraid they're going to be judged. They're so concerned they're going to be judged. And guess what? They are going to be judged. We all get judged. The secret is not to remove judgment. The secret is to have Jesus with me when I am judged. Because we're always going to be judged. There's always going to be somebody that thinks something about us. Man, if you spend your life trying to get everybody to think about you what you want them to think about you, you will be miserable. It's not about not being judged. It's about not being afraid of being judged, because God says, trust me. Don't be afraid. We'll do it together. You know, we always have this picture of Jesus as a shepherd. He's called a shepherd in the Bible. He's our shepherd, and we kind of have this majestic look at Jesus. He's up on a hill with a staff and looks all, you know, Hollywood, and he's looking out over the pasture and all the sheep, and there's Jesus, the majestic shepherd. And that's not the story. That's not why Jesus was called a shepherd. Jesus was called a shepherd because he was willing to do the job that nobody else wants to do. Jesus is willing to do the stuff in my life that nobody else wants to do. He's willing to do the dirty work in my life that nobody else wants to do. That's why they called him a shepherd. They looked at him and they saw the people that he hung around with and the people that he cared about and loved and the people that he healed, and they said, hey, he's just like those shepherds. I mean, they'll be with anybody. And here's the question. God says, trust me, don't be afraid. We can do it together. Now here's the bottom line in your notes. Christmas means everyone can be loved by God every day. Please hear this. Christmas is not the announcement of an event. It's the announcement of a journey. And if you come here today and you've said to yourself, well, not for me. I mean, Robin, you don't know what I've done in my life. You don't know what my background's like. God doesn't. No way. I've got a lot of cleaning up to do before I can be with God. And the Christmas story says, no, you don't. Listen to the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever puts his trust in God's Son will not be lost, but will have life that lasts forever. Here's the key, deciding to trust. And if you do, what will happen? Here's what the Bible says. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out the fear. What are you facing this Christmas? Are you facing disappointment? You're going to get your hopes up again. You want to see something happen in your life like Zechariah. But you know if you do, you might be disappointed. It scares you. You're like Mary, insecure. This is impossible. I can't do this. God would never pick me. Insecure. How many things have you wanted to see happen in your life and you didn't step out and try and you still kick yourself? Because you felt like insecure is too big for me. God says, not too big for us. Trust me. Maybe Joseph, you know, stuff going on in your family and all kinds of, you know, crap going on and relationships are flying apart and disappointment and, you know, insecurity and all what's going on in my family is they're going to disapprove of me. I'm going to have to face that again. Influences how you make your choice. Maybe like the shepherds, God, if they just stop judging me. God says, the answer is I'm with you. Don't try to change those circumstances. You'll tire out. God says, trust me. Don't be afraid. We'll do it together.